Down to Brass Stats. Hello?
Hello, David.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is John Goddard.
Hi, John. How are you?
Right. I've not come to talk economics today with you since our last class.
Fair enough.
Anyway, a couple of things. I heard you talk about your being accosted in a rather obnoxious way by two members of a party.
No. I said one.
One member of a party.
No, one. I spoke to two, but one was good and one was bad.
Yeah. David, that kind of behavior, I have a difficulty with. And 3 weeks ago, I was accosted by four members claiming to be BLP operatives. One, I told them I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them called me at home and gave me a tongue lashing using words which I can't use on radio. And then I was at a luncheon for an old man, and one who I definitely know, he accosted me and let me know that his party had given me national honors, and yet I continue to be a thorn in their flesh, he said. Now, you know that I write in newspapers. You see me write on a variety of subjects. I call you occasionally, and I speak on matters because I have always spoken my mind. It doesn't matter who may get offended. I try not to be obnoxious. But be that as it may, I really want to talk to you about two things. One thing which I know about well, that is education. David, I believe you have an opinion on the abolition of the common entrance exam.
I don't.
You don't?
No.
But yeah, very well. I'm surprised, though, because you are a man in the know, and I think you have the interests of Barbados at heart, and I would think that you have an opinion.
No, I just think that it can be rooted exclusively in the notion of one exam.
Right. Okay.
For anybody to lock the problems that we are facing into one exam is being myopic, to say the least.
David, the system, the entire educational system needs to be reformed. Curricular-wise, assessment-wise, all those things need to be looked at. The common entrance exam, though, is one that has to be dealt with. There's no point pretending, because a lot of the other things stem from that, you know, David. If you have an examination which all of the primary schools are struggling hard to get their students to pass, to get into the so-called good schools, you're going to find that the curriculum is going to be distorted in order to meet the requirements of the math and English exam. That is why the heavy focus on math and English, and people spending money that they do not have to send their children to lessons. There is no one in the most lucrative areas of life in Barbados is giving lessons.
Yeah, I realize that.
Good. That should not be. Our children, teachers are paid to teach our children at school. And I am a member of the profession, as you would know. I am concerned, and I have never got involved in the practice, I am concerned about the need to send our young primary school children to lessons for one examination and paying money that you do not have. It also places children of poor parents at a severe disadvantage.
But you see, you are locating all of the crisis within the primary school.
No,
and I'm suggesting to you...
Right,
because I'm saying that, you know, you need to look at both of them.
Of course I am, but I don't have the time to deal with all, but let me say what I'm going to say to you. Even when you were a youngster, ready for secondary school, the common entrance examination might have had some justification, because in those days, the so-called good teachers, the ones who were highly qualified, would have been placed in the Harrison Colleges, the Common Mayors, the Queen's College, and so on. And so you wanted the children who were so-called right to be exposed to that kind of teaching. And so you had the competitive exam. David, the situation is no longer so. All of the teachers in our secondary schools, and in fact primary schools, are highly certificated, highly sophisticated and trained. So there is no need to scratch your head to determine which students should go to which school because They're going to be better off if they go to here or there. So this madness of taking children from Central, there's in the mornings I walk, right? Children from up in Vineyard Gardens going to catch the bus to go to college in Paris. Isn't that crazy? And the bus services, you know, is terrible, because that is one of the things that has to be dealt with if you are going to reform the system, because that is strictly linked to what is happening in education. There is no need to have any competitive exam to determine where our children are 11 years or 10 years ago. There really is none. You know, the thing in Barbados is that it is so deeply ingrained in us that Harrison College is the place to go, or Queen's College now is the place to go, or not even the law school now, because, as you would know, political interference dealt a severe blow to that school in the 70s. I'm not going to get into that now, because they have some connection with it.
It's about political interference. I think the controversy that prevailed at the school, and that controversy did not, it was not just about the political
not
side
yet,
of it.
But
it was also the attitude of the administration at the school at the time. Together, the two of them created quite a situation where the large school was presented in a negative light to the rest of the country.
Precisely. And the school no longer was the choice of parents, even parents who went to the large school. But the point that I really am making is that the situation and the circumstances which once prevailed in Barbados that would necessitate this competitive examination no longer
exists. And that's not because all the teachers are trained and all the schools have the same resources? So let me ask you, if we have all these, and we do have them, but having all these trained teachers, can you explain to me why is it that we are having such a high failure rate?
Well, David, now I'm glad you asked the question, because I can get to it for you. David, that's why we got to go back to the primary school. Primary schools need to concentrate on teaching all, you know, as I said, stress all children, the basic skills in numeracy and literacy, first of all, and of course some of the other like social studies and so on. Instead of coaching, I stress my words carefully for you, coaching some children who you think will do the school sprout for the examination. If you do that and you have remediation built into the system, that is why I recommended that you do a diagnostic test, and notice I said diagnostic test, at 7, 9, and 11.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Because the ideas that you have, I believe, are ideas that you have put on the table.
I did.
To various administrations.
Right.
What's the resistance that you got? And
well,
why?
People, when I meet politicians, David, outside of the parliament, when I meet them outside, they say, John, you know, that I agree with you that the system has to be dealt with and that your suggestions are sound. But they are afraid, David, politicians are afraid because they think that Barbadians want to keep it so.
But they know so.
Barbadian,
They know that. And if you listen to what Peter Wickham, the information that he shared some days ago about the extent to which the people who are not credentialed but want to keep the system, whereas the people who are credentialed are the ones who would say it's time to change it. There's something within the psyche of the person who hasn't achieved that level of education that says, I must aspire to it, even if I can't get it. One of my children, my grandchildren, somebody else in my family must get it, because since I did not achieve that, it remains a critical benchmark within my family.
Yeah, but David, you know the irony of that?
Wow.
A lot of the people who argue strongest for the exam is retention. Their children can't get in the exam,
Precisely. So you need to deal, if you're going to deal with the 11 plus, you cannot seriously attempt to change it without some education of the people in the country as a whole. Any minister of education who believes that can be achieved by just saying that we will do it and ram it down the people's throats, they will get resistance.
Yeah, very much so.
Heavy resistance.
And I wrote an article recently which said precisely that. You cannot, you have to get buy-in from all the stakeholders. You have to make sure that people are educated. That's why I don't favor this business of a referendum. I agree with you, Peter. I come 100% on that.
A referendum on what?
On education, on most of the things. Because you're going to get, partisanship coming into it. People vote not necessarily for the issue, but they vote against the party that brought it or the party that is against it. That's what you have, and that's what happened with the CCJ.
We have to look at so many other things within the system. Discussion points that I believe, I float, these are my ideas, and other people can determine whether they want to address them. But I don't think that you can look at what is happening to within the system and not realize that a lot of the pressure is coming from the males who feel marginalized and in some way are not achieving.
But David, you know,
so, Let me make the point. So,
go ahead.
You have to ask this question too. If you want to address that, then you have to address the question of male to female ratios in the school system.
Yes.
Is this country prepared to do that? Who is going to raise that issue? Who's going to champion that in this system?
I will do that, really.
You?
I am prepared.
But you need a younger man to do that.
I'm an old man.
You're a retired man, try to champion. I mean, not too old to champion it, but I still think that you need some support from somebody who is younger too.
Well, I will hope you can get that. But David, I am concerned with you about the failure of our males in the system. The system is throwing out too many young men who have been so turned off from the system and who feel that the society does not belong to them.
Look, somebody else here on the telephone line. I want you to hold on. Let's see whether they want to talk about this or if they got something else that you want to talk about. Hello. Yes, good afternoon.
The topic interests me. Mr. Goddard, how are you doing, man?
How are you? Not bad.
Chris over here. Hi. How you doing? Listen, I must agree with you 100%. And I want to say this. I think that something needs to be done. For the longest time, I see something needs to be done to educate Barbadian parents about the schools. Because, and as you said, during the 1950s, for example, when people had to pay law school was $28, Harrison College $24, and the other school called me and all those would be $50 or whatever, $8 something. Anyhow, the point I'm making is expatriate teachers were brought in mainly at those schools that were the high school people. And they had more graduates than the other schools. But today, as you said quite rightly, the quality of teachers, there's no difference between the schools at all. And I don't think.
So where are we falling down? If the quality of the teachers isn't that great, if the facilities are basically the same, where are we falling down?
No,
Mr. Goddard, hold on. Because you spoke about it earlier. Just let me get this other caller's input. Hello.
Yeah, I'm saying that, look, we are falling down because of propaganda.
Propaganda.
A lot of propaganda in the system. Let me tell you why you say this. I give you two schools. I have a book right here published with the Ministry of Education with the qualification of all the teachers. Two schools that are very close. And I looked at them, Queen's College and Ellerslie. And when you look at the quality of the staff, we can only judge them by the qualification, right? But the staff are almost the same. And in some cases, they might be to Ellerslie. So, but you don't know a good teacher because of qualification. But the only way we as onlookers can do is to look at the quality of teachers built by the graduates and the trained teachers. But in every school in Barbados today, you have trained.
And then you need to look at the difference between what is happening at Queen's College or Ellerslie and what is happening at Frederick Smith, for instance, or what is happening at the school in St. Lucie, or what has been happening over the years at a school like St. George Secondary. Because I'm not looking, what we need to examine are not the things that they have in common. We need to examine what they don't have in common. What are the differences? Yes.
Can I respond?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Listen, David, if you take all the students who have over 85% and place them in one school, and then take each other under 30% and put them in another school, you can't compare the output.
That's right.
In the two schools. And that's what
so your point is that the teaching staff and the facilities alone don't make a school. Job.
No.
What you put in is what you're going
to
get.
So your system then has to be one as which will ask this question. How are you going to deal with the 85% who are non-performers? What are you going to do with them?
85%.
And our system is one in which some suggest you have to put them all together and the bright ones will pull along the duller ones. There are people who say the dull ones will pull back the bright ones.
No, don't believe that. David, you went to Ellerslie, and I'm sure you were among the bright students at Ellerslie. I know that. And let me say this to you.
I don't know on what basis you could come to that conclusion,
David,
but...
Did you recall that at the time when it was the school system and you were at Ellerslie, that there were children in your school who were at a lower level?
1-8.
And they never put...
1-9.
Because
within the school, there is still a pecking order.
Of course, no, you because
there's still a segregation.
But David, you stream, but no. But
there's still a discrimination. But what you don't really want to come to terms with, is that which we already know, the child who was down at that level needed a different approach. Many times children in that group were basically, it appeared as though they were left alone. They needed special intervention but never got it.
But they need to get it.
But this system is not geared to do that. This system is geared to look after those who are already average and above. The rest are supposed to be the hewers of wood and the drawers of water for the people who are successful.
But there's a people like you in the media must demand.
I demand what? I'm working in the media and I see media people who still perpetuate that old system. I can't change it myself.
Not yourself, but you tell me that I'm too old to do anything about it. But I say that.
And I'm too old too?
You have a voice.
Yeah, let me get the other comment, the guy on the other line. Yes.
I agree with what Mr. Gardner said. The input. The only difference between the schools is the quality of the students they take. And that is in the hand of the ministry, the system that determines that. But the schools, a lot of the schools have very good, three elements of the school. The physical plant, the quality of the staff, and the students. And the thing that they separate schools is the quality of the students. Are you going to tell me that if you take all the top students and send them to another school, the 90 mark? In fact, I was talking to a little child, my sister's daughter. I was shocked what she said. She's a major part of the system. And she told me last week, she was a Barbara scholar. She went to make this. Top students in common, she was like, down regular. She doesn't like the system. She was quite critical of it.
But this is consistent with what we said earlier. The achievers are the ones who don't like the system.
But David, I should tell you something.
The underachievers are the ones who like it as is. Because they believe. The question is, you need more of what's this term called a qualitative assessment of why it is that people prefer it. I don't know. The research which has been done, it would be useful to find out to what extent it reflects that kind of thinking.
Their minds are focused on this, the names of the schools. Harrison College, so I did not get into it. I want my children still there in Harrison College without saying that Harrison College is only Harrison College because of the students that go
there. That's right.
Yeah, you see? There's nothing. There's no brilliance oozing out from the walls at Harrison College.
Let me tell you something. I met a guy over lunch the other day. He's prominent in the news. I wouldn't call his name right now.
Don't do that.
He's a businessman. And I never knew where he went to school. I said, but where did you... Because, interestingly enough, there's a type of individual in the country who will talk about everything else under the sun, their business, their objectives, and all of them things. But you never really hear them talk about which school they went to. So I asked him, so which school did you go to? And then he gave me the magic word, St. Leonard's. Right. And then he went on to tell me about all of these other people who went to school at St. Leonard's, who were in business with him and that sort of thing. Listen, they keep it a closely guarded secret. But these are the people that we need to come forward to demonstrate to this society just how successful Barbados has been at producing people across the board through the school system who have been able to make a contribution as citizens.
But Ms. Ellis, Ms. Ellis?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Let me say this to you. You know what is the difference? When, as I said, when I spoke to you last, the propaganda game with the Barbados politics and so on. You can't see the papers and you all are...
Your telephone line is deteriorating at points.
Yeah, the propaganda, right? The propaganda is saying...
The propaganda is driven by the fact that... Yes, it is propaganda.
Yeah, but of course,
it is propaganda, but part of what...
Let me explain to you.
I think that part of what has gone wrong here is that there are people who, as I said, make a contribution, but they kind of gone underground. When it comes to this whole question of being associated with one school or the other, they go underground. And the rest... do like the Combermarians, shout from the rooftop, that sort of thing. And as a result, we are not getting the true picture of what we are actually producing in this system.
Mr. Ellis, that is because of the perception that people have, and we have to get rid of that. And I got rid of all that nonsense. But the majority of people appearing. Just see, as Mr. DeGarter said, they want to try to go to that school in next school. And I think this is a lot of nonsense. And if some schools don't get a chance, if they don't get good students, they will never be able to prove their worth.
Well, the point I'm making to you is that there are good and bad students at all, but that some schools get a higher ratio of the so-called non-performers.
Of course.
And
right.
The system has to ask the question, whether it has been fair enough to those people over the years, and how can it do better while not disadvantaging those who are high performers?
Yes. The high performers are going to perform.
Precisely.
We have to pay attention from very early in primary school to the children who are lagging behind.
Yeah, and how?
That's why I talk about remediation and so on in school.
You ever stop to think about what that would cost?
David, you prefer that to spending money?
No, that's not my point. My point is that you got to cost it. And many times, it is the costing of it that causes people to back away.
But David, I'm saying that it is going to be cheaper to spend the money at the front end than to spend...
You've got a lot of convincing to do.
$30,000
for students. A lot of
convincing to do.
All right, we're gonna go to the news and then we come back to continue this edition of the program, which goes until 1 o'clock today. Down to brass tacks, we go until 1 o'clock. This person writes, "The issue regarding the lawlessness exhibited by the PSV workers is one of national importance. They want to know what is the criteria these workers have to meet. Example, police certification of character, references, justice of the peace letters, etc. Secondly, they ask, what are the police doing about it? And they raise as a case in point, Eagle Hall. The writer says, Eagle Hall is a mess with these PSV operators. And they know that there is a police station just a few meters away. The writer says law enforcement needs to be consistent and not spasmodic. These operators are contributing towards the road rage we see being exhibited on the nation's roads. You know, I would love to see some kind of study that looks at the behavior and how PSV behavior has perhaps influenced the behavior of the wider society. I mean, we've been around long enough, since the days of the Midnight Assassin, you remember that? To see We were there when they were rocking the cradle, remember? All right. And to what extent have we been able to see some of that or a lot of that actually play out in the culture? You see it on the roads, but it would be useful to have some kind of further and deeper examination of that. What is happening at Eagle Hall is really interesting. The proximity to the police station, the proximity to a new shop, well, an old shop with new operators that seems to be thriving, but a lot of the people who are at the shop seem to be PSV people and minibus people. In the afternoon, the way that PSV operators and minibus operators behave in terms of trying to pick up people, slow down traffic. And it is true. You have to ask the question, is there a connection between the people who drive the PSVs and the people who the police station out there? I don't know who they are. But seriously, anybody who looks at Eagle Hall will ask that question. A connection. I didn't ask any other question. I just left it there. I don't know. I haven't heard anybody discuss it. But it doesn't look right. And I really think that if we could see that, you mean to tell me that all of the people from the Police High Command missing that? They don't pass there. Other people don't complain to them. That is what makes you give up in this society. We talk about these things. We change the government. But the more we change, there are some things that just remain the same, and some of them seem to get worse. Eagle Hall is a case in point. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon.
How do you do?
I'm well, and you?
I'm pretty okay for now. I want to raise 2 points here. Just want to ask some questions. I would like to know what was the reason for the Sandy Lane Gold Cup running at 5:40 when post time is 5 o'clock. I don't know what explanation will be given. I don't know what caused a 40-minute delay. And worst of all, I would like to know if the people who are the stewards of the day could sit down in their boxes and watch horses run at night, that last race, with people and children in the middle of the pasture, round on the ends of the savannah, with no sort of security. The police cannot control it in the day, far less at night. Could you imagine somebody getting hurt, a jockey falling, two horses getting away? Do you understand the seriousness of what down there would look like at night with a horse or two horses running around that track with thousands of people on the infield and an ambulance on the infield going around trying to get to a jockey? Where were the stewards of the day? Were they just about holding people for a superfector in that race? Cricket is played when it gets dark.
Well, I don't know where you're going with our money. And I hope that is not implying anything personal.
No, I'm not implying anything.
No, because when you say money, what are you saying?
No, don't worry about the money thing.
No, I need to clarify that, because I don't want anybody to, you know, the stewards are just a handful of people.
And a certain people.
Right, precisely. And therefore, when you mention that, you need to make sure that it is not coming across as though you're suggesting something untoward.
Precisely,
I just wanted that.
I'm not that stupid. I'd be wrong.
Yeah, it is not about stupidity. It's not about stupidity. It's just to make sure that it is clear. All right?
Yeah, I understand you.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the dangers of people with their kids. Are we going to wait till somebody get killed or there's a mangle between horse, jockey, and a few little children?
Well, I think that your major point about why it is that the race was run so late is valid, and I think the Barbados Turf Club, perhaps.
Yeah, but then look at the one after that.
Which was even later.
Which is later.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I didn't follow the coverage in such detail as to tell you whether there was an explanation for it in the actual coverage. But it also struck me that it was pretty late. When I realized that they were still running races at the Garrison, I thought it was night horse racing.
Night horse racing without lights.
Without lights.
Without lights. And the horse ain't had any lights on the head, nor the jockey, nor the people in the stands, in the yard, around the track, nowhere. Dangerous.
It was dangerous.
Extremely dangerous.
Fair enough.
Don't let us wait till somebody get hurt. Please.
Yes.
Use a little common sense. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Somebody says that the traffic lights at the junction of Cullamarock and Pine Road haven't been working for the last couple of days, and it urgently needs to be addressed. Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Well, not too bad. I called today about the minibus issue thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I feel a lot of these, even the Eagle Hall thing that you just was talking about, something want to do on the ground there for you. Because ground there is looking a mess on evenings and mornings. And even at night.
No control. No control.
Man, what's
and the danger in this is if you continue to let this kind of behavior, if this continues, then it takes you further and further down that slippery slope. I mean,
yep.
The people who are supposed to police that need to have some sense of direction as to why they do the jobs that they're supposed to be doing. You know, this is not just about today. This is also about tomorrow.
Yep, it's true. And I mean, the mess got round there in a roar. You ain't telling no lies because I pass there morning, noon, and night, and I just see the state that the Eagle Hall thing to be in for you.
Well, it wasn't always like this. With me, in recent times, it has gotten really bad. I can't say that. I will tell you this. I understand some minibus guy seems to be operating the shop, but that was so before it might have gotten worse.
Yeah, it got worse, no sense, the boy that go over the shop. But
it's good business for him, but I'm saying at the end of the day, if you leave everything to private sector interests and the state does not step in to control behavior, this thing can go, you know, haywire. And this is what has happened at Eagle Hall.
Yep.
But that's not the only. I mean, the shop that I, you ever stop to see how they stop by the shop, the saw shop, and pick up people? But that shop isn't operated by the other guy that you're talking about.
Not only stops the not they may stop them got passengers they may stop and go in the saw shop get Guinness and beers and all kind of thing and got the roads blocked up. I mean, some of them were ridiculous and. Then want some kind of order even in the
But we pay the police to do that kind of job. And the people in the high command of the police force need to do their jobs. No matter what somebody down the line may be doing, you expect that they will do their jobs.
This is
outrageous. What is happening there is only symptomatic of the kind of stuff that is allowed to just go on and go on in the country. And then it moves from one place to the next.
Mm-hmm.
It is unacceptable.
It get worse.
And precisely.
If they don't try and do something, they know in the butt with it, they're going to get out of hands and they're going to get worse.
Well, we wait and see what happens. But you, the members of the public, you see this kind of thing every day. You say nothing.
Nothing at all. Nothing.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you can pay a price for it, you know. Remember,
soon or later.
The days when they were rocking the cradle. And now people tell you that the people go into the school system and when they travel on minibuses, you know, they're no use to themselves and that sort of thing. I mean, there's got to be some control. I really envy the people at the licensing authority, because every move that is made, you will find that there's always somebody to come with some legal position and some argument, and it is just held up. Any action is held up. So it looks as though, if you know, you make two steps forward and three steps backward, you know?
Yeah, it's true, man. Yeah. another thing I want, man. Now people start about clean hygiene and so on. Vidi. Last week I was in a minivan stand down Lower Green. I don't know how you could got people selling food in a van stand. All the minibus, all the exhaust, all of the vehicles going inside the stalls that you got people doing food for people and then selling it to people. I mean, all of that thing, all for the engines and so on, going in the canteens and going in the food that you're doing, people saying, people got to come and buy that food. I mean, I don't want to buy food.
Well, the other people police that. That is the people who work in the area with food and making sure that the public health, that's their job. You know, you if you see that, then they need to be told that, you know, you're concerned about it. So call them directly. Let's see whether they do their job.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, the person says to me that Warren's has the same problems as Eagle Hall with PSV. PSV's, which area will be next? I know Warren's, but I don't think it is as bad. From what I am seeing, but then you see the Warren situation is compounded by the general congestion that takes place there, because you know we never got flyovers and that sort of thing, so a lot of traffic bunches at Warren's. But however you swing, I mean, can't we police these areas? Is it that bad that, you know, you just got to leave these people to do as they like? They send the wrong signal to the country as a whole. It comes across as though we are drifting more and more to lawlessness. But that's only my view. What's yours? You can tell me again when next we talk about these issues. Down to Brass Tacks, I'm David Ellis. Thanks to you, and thanks to Michelle Brathwaite, who was the technical operator and producer today. Do have a great afternoon.